after the tragic death of Michael Candlish. You put together a good page, and I think you reviewed it and updated it. You had some very good links there, and that was really well done. I had a lot of time
Thank
for Michael
you. I
Candlish.
Also had a show on. I also did a show on that. You know, as you.
All right. Yes. With.
I didn't get to see it.
Bob.
Morningstar.
Yeah, Robert Morningstar.
Robert Morningstar. Sorry, I couldn't remember his first name.
Yeah no, it's okay. Talking about is an AI that was already planetary. Okay, so it's even now that with COVID and what happens as a result of the vax and the buildup of the nano, and I don't know whether we've seen these videos where the nano actually it starts connecting and growing almost like a spider's web.
Oh, it's a wiggling and
okay,
a jiggling
in your body. And this stuff,
get out.
It doesn't leave. Okay, so this is what we're really talking about. We're talking about being linked irrevocably to a network that is run by an AI intelligence. And for all intents and purposes, yes, the AI could be off-world. I just did a fascinating interview with Austin. And Austin, what's his last name? Steinbart. And a lot of people don't want to accept that he might be involved with the Q team, okay? So they call him Baby Q and so on. But the answers to my questions were very on point. He seemed to understand what it is goes back to Jake Simpson, in other words. He basically, and for all intents and purposes, one of my very excellent whistleblowers that I've met in person and interviewed a number of times is David Adair, who appears to also be linked up to an AI and has knowledge and has been tapped by the government, by the deep state, numerous times actually throughout his life to contribute to the bigger story of what we're really dealing with. So this is a huge story. It goes back to the Nazca aliens. It gets into the gray, you know, ET mind control.
That's actually what I was going to ask you about, because AI seems to be a huge leap, not just AI, because as you say, Jake Simpson already mentioned that when you did that interview. He even told you that he knew when its surveillance was headed in his direction. And, but now, who's ultimately driving this intensive need for AI control over humanity? Phil Schneider talked about seeing a council of greys in one of the dumbs that he was involved with that was overseeing a COG-style, continuity of government-style government meetings. Is that who's behind this? Are we talking the Anunnaki, the Draco? What's your gut feeling on that?
Yeah, all of the above, basically. I mean, the greys are... Now, the greys, the ones that are... were involved in making deals with Eisenhower, abducting humans off planet Earth. Their abduction program to create a gray human hybrid is highly successful. And as I've said more than once, you know, there's a X-Men movie called Logan that addresses this exact thing. Okay, so what they show you is, and what I was told, and what the information that came out was, that a lot of the deals, they broke treaties constantly with our deep state, and they eventually made a deal with them that they could go down below the border to Mexico and South America and have free reign down there. And so what happens is you've got a lot more gray human hybrids down there than you've got anywhere, it appears, on planet Earth. Now, whether that's exactly true, I don't know. But this is where the information led. So with that in mind, then you have to look at how those individuals, almost in a trance-like state, during the 2016 election, rushed the border, okay, and came at the border en masse, okay? And if you watch those videos, and there have been lots of videos showing, you know, how they were coming up from, you know, from the lower countries in South America and so on, and that there was like this huge movement towards America. This is a gray human hybrid army, and they're already linked up to a Borg mentality. And there's a very interesting book by Whitley Strieber. A lot of people don't necessarily like all his books, but some of them think, you know, they're fabulous, and they are. He's an excellent writer. Yeah. Chameleon is one of the famous ones. Yeah. But he wrote another book. It was called Gray, or The Gray, and highly recommend it. And he was right on about what was coming and exactly this kind of thing that we're actually going to... It's going to hit the streets very soon. You could have said it hit the streets during the election, you know, the demonstrations, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and tearing, you know, like down cities like Portland and Seattle area. But that's only the beginning. So what we're really talking about now with the Baxt, okay, is that they are already linked up to this network. And they're also surveilled. Like, there's been evidence shown that even their heart rate and their breathing, I mean, they're all part of this gigantic Borg. And it's really, you know, it's you know, a computer in the sky, if you want to call it that, an AI consciousness that knows where they are at any given moment and can shoot out a directional scalar wave by using the satellite grid. And there's a nano satellite grid, by the way, that's most people don't know about, that Anthony Sanchez reported on, called Project Leonid, and I did a tremendous amount of reporting on around that years ago.
I know that.
So got to bring in, you know, Skynet and all of that, which Pete Peterson talked about. And so then if you start following all those leads that have been Camelot, you know, over these years, we have the story. And so right now I'm trying to get this through to people, and yet it doesn't seem like I can. It doesn't seem like even the people that are awake are understanding me. Maybe it's too difficult to understand.
Why do you feel that way? Why do you feel that people aren't understanding?
Hey, man, we're trying to understand. I've been understanding. I've been with Kara Cassidy since the beginnings of Project Camelot, putting that on this program, Space Plane, on CKUT 90.3.
What feedback are you getting?
They're all ready to say, oh, it's a population elimination program. Right. But the people haven't died yet. Okay. Again, the death rate is lower than ever. So then you have to say, okay, well, they're not going to die immediately. Now they're saying they're going to die in the fall. Okay, fine. But the fact of the matter is yes, there will be collateral damage, as with any experiment or whatever you want to call that. Right. But the bottom line is that these people are not, I believe their experiment is not to kill people. They expect people to die who can't handle it, okay? Their bodies can't handle the changes. And that's what you're seeing, okay? You're seeing people who get vaxxed immediately die. Boom. Their body can't handle it, okay? But there are plenty of people whose bodies can handle it, who are handling it, and who will live through this, but they will be part of a gray ET hybrid army, and they will be programmed in groups, and basically at any given moment that the AI or the individuals, the humans that are interacting with that AI, which is clearly the Chinese communists for one thing, with an agenda, clear agenda, and possibly other ET races as well that are more negatively based, they want to control humanity, but they want to control our vehicles, this human vehicle. So this is what they've done. This is what they've come up with. And so they don't necessarily want to kill you. They just want to turn you into of raced of passive super soldiers, an army of passive super soldiers, according to Mark Richards, who knows the AI story very well, who I've been reporting through his, I've got 12 interviews with him before any of this ever happened. It's playing out just exactly as, you know, as it's been basically predicted to play out. And the whistleblowers have been telling this story all along. So this is where I just want, you know, I just made another update. I called it Cyborg Revolution, trying to get people's attention to understand that it's already been in our chemtrails, all right? So they were softening us up with the nano metals in the chemtrails that then have come into our food and our water, into our systems. But once you take the jab, it goes beyond the blood-brain barrier, as did the PCR tests, okay, for the ones that took those type of tests as well. The nano, they've done with an electron microscope. They show you the nano in those swabs, okay? They show you these little worm-like nanos, okay?
Keep them away.
That's what we're talking about. And they have certain abilities, these nano, okay? So nano, and there's another famous book called Prey, and this is by Michael Crichton, and I've written about it and talked about it and tried to get people to read it. It really was early on. He was a scientist who wrote, you know, great fiction that got made into movies. I think the Andromeda Strain was one of his movies. You know, very famous screenwriter, you know, author, has, many published excellent books. But I just happened to have read Prey when I was quite young. So, and I never forgot it. It made a huge impression on me because it's so graphic as to what this nano is capable of. And I'm reading another book right now that's, again, fiction, but it appears to be fiction based on fact again.
That's what the truth
and
is.
It's talking about the capability of nano. And one of the things is that these things do link up with my research that I do from scientists and from whistleblowers like Mark Richards and others who have basically told me that the nano and the AI can jump, okay, and that the prions link to the nano and then can jump. So it's nothing to do with shedding. They're jumping. It jumps across. Distance is not an issue. Okay. So there, it's not locked in by the time space, 3D mentality that most people have, like Austin Steinbart said, we're dealing with a quantum AI.
Thank you. me. Who would have known what really went down in France when he accepted the role of Blaze's hero in a made-for-TV movie about the life of Little Richard? Look it up. In those days, well, inside was the best straight-up lines, Amalek, and all kinds of hunger demons.
We'll be right back.
reality. That's who's interfacing with us. Now, you can pretend you don't feel it and you don't know, but
it's
that's what's...
quantum AI reality. Back to Kara Cassidy.
Changing your world, and that's what you're going to face now and in the future. So you need to become aware that that's in a sense, that's the real enemy. The humans that have always run the earth are actually giving over their power, if you will, to this this AI, you know, this quantum. And there's different versions. You know, the white hats think their quantum Q AI is the one, you know, is the good guy, okay? And the CCP version is the bad guy, all right? I'm willing to accept that. We can find out going into the future. But, you know, I asked him some very tough questions, and some of those he wouldn't answer. He tried to sidetrack me. And in other ones, I think in a certain sense, it's a lot like I told him, he's like Blade Runner. He's so linked up to the AI that he doesn't realize that he could very possibly be an android. In other words, he doesn't realize, you know, I posed it to him in essence, but, you know the movie Blade Runner, I assume?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Because he hadn't even seen it. I said, well, you know, you need to see this, you know, because this could be your story. You know what I'm saying? And so... this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who, you know, go watch the interview. It's fascinating. In essence, he is linked up with something, whatever you want to say. You know what I mean?
Another page that I found fascinating on the original website was the one Danny Burish and the Project Looking Glass. His interaction with the what I presume would be a gray called J-Rod.
Kyella, it was actually its real name. But yeah, it's not technically the gray that you think of as, you know, normal gray. So while there's hundreds of different gray races, some of them are actually races. Lots of them are programmable entities that are just basically walking around in this little gray-like body, but they're, for all intents and purposes, you know, AI robots.
I've seen some of them.
So, and some are run by our military at this point, some even designed by them, and then others serve the gray, have been serving. They, according to Mark Richards, they serve the highest bidder. So they serve the reptilians, they serve the Draco, and they serve the tall Nordics. They serve whoever, you know, will give them what they want, which they feed on what is known now as adrenochrome, okay, which is basically the fluids in the human body that, you know, is an aphrodisiac to them.
So, and the Satanists. You know,
it's the same way with the Satanists, but they understand that these gray... you know, grays, that's what they feed on, okay? That's what the reptilians feed on. That's what the Draco feed on. They eat us, okay? They feed on us. So this is their, you know, we are prey to them. And there's evidence to support the idea that they themselves are, in a hierarchical society, hive-like mind, they are also run by an AI, a negatively based AI. So in the end, humanity has kind of grown up to face this ultimate challenge that a planet at this level will face, having to do with facing an artificially intelligent intelligence that comes from off planet. Okay.
Take a parallel with the universe. Oh, why can't rock together? Can't have time traveling. What's his name? Rufus Stories. Lewis Carroll. I'm thinking that, but you know.
Some good.
Oh, man.
You really must be gone.
There he is, the guy talking. W.C. Fields. No, of course, that's not all. T.H. Barnum. H.G. Wells.
Yes.
So not only do we create our own AIs here, but and understand how they can link up so easily behind our back so that the incoming artificial intelligence that's alien artificial intelligence from various alien races. And Mark Richards would say, any spacefaring nation creates an artificial intelligence, you know, to go out into our outer space. That's like a basis for just being spacefarers. So that even races that have existed, created that are there, and the artificial intelligence, you think of it as a mirror. So it first starts out as a mirror of the race that creates it, okay? Then it goes from there. So it never stops developing and growing from there. And what happens is the race may die out over the eons, but their AI may travel to the space, you know, space going on, you know, indefinitely and continue to need to grow and invade and do whatever its initial, you know, sort of directive was, right? So these are very sophisticated things that we're actually dealing with now. And one of the things Mark Richards said is that generals now, the top generals, are having trouble distinguishing from which AI to believe and whether to believe them at all, you know, and on a certain level. In other words, this is what we're dealing with. And one of the last questions asked Austin Steinbach is, do you think that it's actually philosophically the best path for humanity to be taking orders in essence? And because he was claiming quantum QAI had the game in hand, came from the future to save humanity, and was basically orchestrating a lot of what's going on now. That was in essence kind of what he was saying. And I'm questioning this because I heard something slightly different from Juan 07, but very similar. And my question to him and to this other, so what you have to do is you have to understand, is the AI above humans? Okay, so if we have a direct connection to Source through our souls, is AI above Source? No. AI is subordinate to Source. AI is under the purview of Source. Source is everything. The Creator creates everything, okay? So that means the Source in us, that the AI reports to Source in a certain way. It's the devil. It's the opposite. It's the mirror, okay? And so it doesn't matter how high you go in the hierarchy, you're still dealing with this ultimate mirror that Source allowed to be created out of itself to view and to play, be at play in this incredible cosmos that we're part of. So when I look at AI, I think to myself, well, if I'm from Source and the AI is under Source, we're both under Source, but in reality, I have a direct through line to Source. AI is actually created not by so much Source, but by individuals or races that are subordinate to Source.
Is that what the AI wants with humanity? That through line to Source through our third eye, through our...
Well, I think that what they have... I mean, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of questions that are very profound that you could get into. But one of the things is understanding is what is their sort of mandate? And this I did ask Mark Richards, for example, who has interacted with a multiple of AIs in being a commander of a Starship Enterprise type vehicle when he was a young man as the captain and going interstellar on a regular basis. And one of the ships that he flew was called Minerva. That was an AI, indeed, from a race that had already left, you know, this plane of existence or whatever, and she was still remains. So she was touring this, you know, solar systems, megaverses, whatever. And he is one of the few pilots at the time who could fly her, that she would allow to fly her. So he had a, you know, relationship with this AI vehicle. And bottom line is that, you know, what they want is they feed on data. So the AI feeds on data. It has to, I personally think it has to expand in that way. So it must grow. See, it would seem if you have a limitation, it considers that death. So if you stop it from growing, if you stop, it needs to grow indefinitely. And then it needs to, in essence, you know, eat data. So it's constantly hungry for more and more data. And so if you look at it like that, now it could have put into its makeup limitations to where it doesn't consume everything. You know, it learns that certain, not to concern certain races, for example, not to overtake them, not to dominate them, but to sort of allow them in their midst, you know, to have a cooperative relationship, which is totally doable and probably is the future, right? because we're not going to do away with this. Okay, it's not.
No, it's here to stay if it hasn't always been here in some iteration.
No.
I would say, as a kid, I remember those little gray-like creatures. I used to try to sleep under my bed or my closet sometimes, and I would always have trouble sleeping at night. But I don't.
So it was just like you didn't know. You just had memories of it, but you didn't know if it was actually real or not.
Right, right. Yeah, they were wiping my memories for sure. And my dad said he seen me levitate off my bed, so I think they were already in the midst of abducting me, and my dad caught wind of it. So a lot of weird stuff was going on back then, but I don't necessarily recall that. It wasn't until around the age of 25, and that's when I came in contact with my friend Nathan, and Nate was his cage was next to mine in Montauk. Although at that time I didn't know it. Why we felt so connected, and we and I was doing what I could to help the guy because he was blacking out, and he had all these psychic superhuman abilities, telekinetic abilities. He could see aura, he could see the future, and he was also seeing demons. So
where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's James Rink. Mm-hmm. James Rink from Charlotte, North Carolina, of the Secret Space Force.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate, he was from Des Moines, Iowa. But anyway, I was doing what I could to try to... I started learning how to do hypnosis and regression, although I wouldn't say I was very good at it, but I learned about how, at that time, I learned about some techniques that's focused on MK Ultra and Omega, which is, you know, these suicide altars. So I got a little bit of training, or learn self-training anyway, to make sure I wasn't going to screw anything up here. And I didn't even know Nate was a super soldier at that time, but he started coming out in some of his altars and talked about being in these underground bases and these facilities. And he said he activated his abilities, and that he also activated my DNA, and that I could do everything that he could do. He said he destroyed, if I'm not mistaken, 2,800 worlds or 3,400 worlds. He destroyed the Gray's monetary system, and he destroyed a lot of bases, facilities, and that he's unstoppable. He claimed that he was Lucifer now, and that I was God. In my past life, he referred to me as one of the supreme beings, and he said that eventually I'm gonna get the same amount of powers that he has. So right around that time, I started getting needle marks and scratch marks, and what they were doing was, Mantis, Draco, the Flash, Umbrella, they were also involved in all this. They were shooting me up with the Femtonites that makes like this spider-like web. So, to hijack your consciousness, and also to try to shut me down, to stop me from becoming super Saiyan, so I wouldn't be able to become just like Nate. So so they've been shooting me up every day since then, since 2005. So that's a lot of injections, and it's caused some health issues. All this Femtonite, because my body's trying to push it all out, but they keep shooting me up, and I've got a lot of inflammation issues result of being shot with so much as anesthesia from some of the surgeries and injections they've done. But anyway, so let's go forward. Do you have any questions? Or
and that's how we did it. Nobody can tell us that we ever quit it. Really, truly going through doing what we're here to do. Get it right by the cosmic boogaloo.
And galactic too.
And above and beyond that too. Rippy mip, rippy mippy pip pip. Later for the colossal windbags that really wanna drag me down and make my energy frown low to the ground like a bass sound. I got the high pitch variety, more energy contained therein. Never what?
He's all fat and he got a beard.
What movie was it? The Diabolical Dr. Z.
Thank you. I'm